When it comes time to get your new iPhone, you can go right to the nearest Apple store and purchase your device without going through some sort of licensed middleman. That same direct-to-consumer pipeline is not widely available, though, when it comes to manufacturing of electronic vehicles in New York, with the only exception coming in the form of a carve-out for a handful of Tesla showrooms in New York. And that needs to change, according to environmentalists and some Democratic state lawmakers, who say direct sales must be widely allowed if the state is serious about getting more electric vehicles on the road in order to reduce the state's carbon footprint. To make the case for this change, we're joined by Jim Chen, Vice President of Public Policy and Chief Regulatory Counsel at Rivian, an American manufacturer that is beginning production of electric pickups and SUVs this year, as well as an electric delivery van for Amazon. So for context, you know, fast forwarding to 2022, and I'm in the market for a Rivian electric pickup because I'm a guy who cares about the environment and wants to look cool hauling stuff. What would my options be for purchasing this new ride in New York under current state law?
Let me start out right from the get-go. Any New Yorker who wants to buy a Rivian will be able to do so, but the way they'll be able to do it is going to be very different. They would have to go onto our internet site and go to a licensed location that Rivian has out of state to be able to purchase that vehicle. So reaching out to Massachusetts, reaching out to Illinois, reaching out to California, reaching out to Florida, any one of the other states where we're allowed to have a license to be able to sell direct to manufacturers. And that New Yorker would then have to call up or email or text or have their questions answered about a Rivian vehicle from that out-of-state location and that out-of-state product specialist. And then they would have to transact that as an out-of-state sale, and we would have to deliver that vehicle to them from outside of the state. In the meantime, in order to be able to even see the vehicle or to test drive the vehicle, they would have to go out-of-state. They would have to travel to one of these other locations to be able to experience a Rivian under current law.
So that process sounds like a real hassle. Is that a product of current state law, or does Rivian just not want to be in New York?
Oh, to the contrary, we would love to be in New York. It is a product of current state law. So current New York state law, with a very limited exception that you'd mentioned before, prohibits manufacturers like Rivian from being able to apply for and receive a license from the DMV to be able to open up their own showrooms, their own dealership, so to speak, or their own retail establishments to be able to sell to New Yorkers. And let's be clear, this is not about Rivian trying to skirt regulation. This is actually Rivian coming in and asking to be part of the regulated process.
Right. And in terms of getting involved in the process, there is legislation from Senate Environmental Conservation Committee Chair Todd Kominsky and Assemblymember Pat Fahey that would really overhaul the existing state law. Can you walk us through what it would mean if that bill became law? And for example, would manufacturers have a cap on the number of stores? And who would authorize the launch of these stores?
It would be manufacturers coming in to be able to open up stores and seek licenses, but it wouldn't be just any manufacturer. And this is an important distinction to be made. Under the bill as currently drafted, it would only be manufacturers of electric vehicles who are not currently utilizing the franchise system. And I say that's an important distinction because there are special interests, specifically the state dealer groups, that are trying to claim that if this bill were to go through and become law overnight, their businesses would just disappear. That's simply not true. What this bill does is provide an opportunity for manufacturers that have never used the franchise system and are not going to use the franchise system to be able to set up their own retail establishments. This doesn't mean that any other manufacturer that has already entered into binding legal contracts with these third-party franchise dealers could suddenly abrogate those contracts. They couldn't. They would still be obligated to honor the legal requirements they made. So Toyota or a GM, for example, couldn't suddenly overnight decide they were going to abrogate all the contracts they have with all their various franchise dealers and drive them out of business. No, they would still have to honor the commitments they made. So this bill is very, very narrowly drawn, and it does, a current iteration, limit the number of stores that could potentially be open so that this allows for manufacturers like Rivian to come in and basically exercise the business model we choose to exercise for our business that we think is best for our type of operations.
Yeah, why wouldn't Rivian just use the existing network of dealerships all over New York to sell their cars directly to New York consumers? That way we don't have to go to Massachusetts to go on our test drive, and we can go to the dealership that we are, you know, probably familiar with, whether it's because they sponsor some little league team or we see their wacky ads on television.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's fundamentally has to do with the nature of our product and the relationship of our business model. And so I think if you ask any consumer these days, you know, whether the dealership experience as it currently stands is one that's one they look forward to, I think you probably know what the answer is. But more importantly, our whole point in wanting to have direct sales is to have that direct touch point with our customers. At the end of the day, our vehicles are computers on wheels. They're high technology devices that are connected with owner permission, I want to add, right from the get-go, so that our ability to look at that vehicle while it's in operation, while it's sitting, while it's charging, to ensure that it operates at peak condition allows us to do that. So again, with owner permission, being able to see that vehicle as it's charging, we can ensure that the power is appropriately being distributed amongst the cells, so that as you're on a road trip, if there are issues involving your vehicle, we can let you know in real time, probably even before you notice there's anything wrong with your vehicle, and give you a heads up. We can also put in additional new features, so over-the-air updates that can be done directly from the manufacturer. And on top of that, you know, I mentioned before the diagnostics. If there's a problem with the vehicle, instead of taking a day off of work, bringing your vehicle into a dealership where it has to be reflashed, we could do that actually over the air at, say, 2 a.m. when your vehicle's plugged in and charging and connected to Wi-Fi so that you don't have to take that day off. So it's having that direct touch with the customers. That's a big part of it. The other part of this is that, you know, frankly, getting EVs out there is best done through the direct sales model. Okay, now I've heard over and over the argument made by franchise dealer organizations that they would love to sell these vehicles. But you know what? The statistics that are provided by their own trade association, the National Auto Dealers Association, doesn't bear that out. Frankly, you know, if you look at the sales of vehicles in New York State, in 2020, New York's nearly 1,000 franchise dealerships collectively sold 1,896 EVs. That's less than two EVs per dealership. Now, if you look by comparison, the one manufacturer that is allowed to sell directly, Tesla alone sold just over 10,000 vehicles in New York State in that same time period. That's five times the amount of nearly 2,000 franchise dealers from just five locations. So if we're serious about getting electric vehicles increased in New York, then we need to look at new and creative business models, which, by the way, do not hurt the existing local businesses, the traditional franchise dealers.
Right now, the state is littered with traditional car dealerships to the point where even if I live in a remote rural corner of the state, I can probably find a dealership within, say, an hour drive. All of the Tesla showrooms that can make sales right now are in downstate New York, hours away from most parts of upstate New York. Is it possible for you to guarantee that reforming state law governing direct sales would mean all New Yorkers would have reasonable access to some sort of electric vehicle showroom, or will it just mean more options for consumers, say, in metropolitan areas?
Do you know why Tesla's five stores are only in downstate? It's because they're not allowed to expand. They've tried. Tesla has actually tried to open up a gallery in upstate New York, in Rochester, and they were promptly sued by the dealer association for violating the law of not having more than five locations. And let me point that out. You know, not just the existing law, but the bill is proposed. The idea of artificially constraining the number of stores, to what end? We already know that direct sales in states like California and Florida, where they don't have limits, is not hurting established businesses. In fact, pointing back to NADA statistics, traditional automobile sales and dealer revenue has increased nationwide since 2012 when Tesla began pioneering the direct sales model. Franchise dealers in states that are partially or fully open to direct sales have outperformed the national average with sales growth of 58% and employment growth of 28%. Okay, in states that are more restricted, guess what? They've underperformed the national average with only 29% sales growth and 12% employment growth. So clearly, according to the Dealers Own Trade Association, the statistics show that opening up to direct sales is not a threat to existing small businesses. So the whole idea of having these store limits is an artificial constraint and creates harm, just as you pointed out, in that it limits the ability for manufacturers like Rivian to be able to open up stores in locations other than major metropolitan areas. I got to tell you, from a personal standpoint, I would love to see that. I was born and raised in Buffalo, New York. I'm an upstater. And my father actually had a Tesla Model X. And yes, he had to go out of state for it. And you want to hear something even crazier? To get service, he used to drive to Toronto from Buffalo. So he had to cross an international border to get service when he needed it. Okay. Now, most of the time, the good news is he didn't need service, or it would just get simply, he would just simply get an over the air update, as I mentioned. But the few times he did have to go there, because he could not go to a dealership and he didn't want to drive 8 hours to New York City, he went over to Canada. So I think that the long and short of it is, you know, we would love to be able to, as Rivian, be able to invest wherever our customers are, whether it's metropolitan area, whether it's more rural areas. And frankly, as all adventure vehicles, we can certainly see having locations in areas away from metropolitan areas where we can be where our customers are.
So our conversation has revolved around legislation that would really radically alter the landscape in terms of how we buy cars and who can sell cars in New York. Rewind, though, about 7 or 8 years, and the big conversation and debate was over Tesla gaining, you know, an initial foothold in New York to the point where they were allowed to get those 5 stores to sell directly to New Yorkers. And that was a conversation that you were a part of. Can you talk about how that deal came together and what sort of opposition you faced and who you found as allies in that fight?
It was quite some time ago, but in a past life, yes, I was in a position similar to the one I am now at Rivian for Tesla, and was involved in a lot of these. And back then, the atmosphere was a little bit different. First of all, you had Tesla coming out as a pioneer of compelling all electric vehicles, and they really were the first one to do this with modern electric vehicles that have long range and are highway capable and have incredible performance. And Tesla had opened up a number of stores throughout the country and, frankly, at that point was expanding throughout the world as well. And in that particular situation in 2014, the Greater New York Automobile Dealers Association came in and introduced legislation that basically would have shut Tesla out, would have made it illegal for that entity to be able to obtain and renew licenses that it applied for and validly held at 5 locations. Certainly Tesla had intentions to expand, but with no evidence of any harm to their existing businesses. And by the way, the time period between then and now has borne that out. The dealers came out to perfect basically their monopoly, their stranglehold on the environment, and they wanted to kick Tesla out. We had discussions with legislative leadership and certainly with the governor's office, and politically it would have been untenable for them to basically drive an exciting new company out of New York, cause that company to lay off people and shut down locations and reduce economic activity. So a compromise of sort was reached where Tesla would be allowed to have those 5 locations, but no more. Fast forward to today, and you know that the time is very different. Electric vehicles, there are new manufacturers coming out, Rivian, Lucid, Lordstown, just to name a few, looking to capitalize on the trend and help New York reach its climate goals. But to do that with a different technology that I mentioned, and a different way of looking at vehicles and a different interaction between manufacturers and customers, it's time to open that up more.
So when you were able to get that deal through, was that something that was done as standalone legislation, or was that part of a, you know, what we call here in Albany, a big ugly, whether at the end of session or one of the budget bills?
Well, it did go right down to the wire, but it was a standalone bill. It wasn't part of budget. And frankly, it was a difficult battle. The dealers set out this parade of horribles, how franchise dealers would start to shut down, how little leagues would suffer, how people would get laid off, you know, just all these doomsday scenarios that frankly never panned out. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was the visionary leadership of a few strong leaders and the governor who basically said, no, we're not gonna drive this burgeoning company out of New York. And now we have that opportunity. Fast forward to a number of years later, and we have the opportunity here for a bill that would allow companies, American companies like Rivian, to invest in New York, to create economic activity, to hire people, to put up locations, to invest in local markets, to be part of the community, and to do so without harming any existing businesses. Except that you've got dealer associations who, again, want to protect their monopoly, their stranglehold on the marketplace, and not welcome legitimate competition. I have to say, you know, if their business model is so great, if they have really nothing to fear because they believe truly that their business model is the right way and the consumers will come to them, then let's see it on the open market. Why do they have to go to the legislature to artificially restrain and restrict the free market?
And finally, then, when you look around Albany for allies on this, I would imagine that there is a sense that Democratic lawmakers might gravitate towards this because you could make the case about this helping combat climate change. And then you could also make the argument that Republican lawmakers might be in favor of this because it's free market capitalism at its finest. But then I also think about how every lawmaker has car dealerships, and that's almost a nonpartisan issue. So is that sort of the dynamic that's playing out, where these local entities are able to exert a lot of control, and as a result, you know, their political ideology here is, I guess, negated, and that's what you're facing right now?
That's actually very astute, David. That's an excellent way to put it. If you look at who is on the side of this, you look at, there's 115 environmental groups that support this. There are free market proponent groups that support the whole idea of manufacturer direct sales. You've got the FTC saying this is the right thing to do. You've got the antitrust division of the Department of Justice saying it's the right thing to do. You've got professors of law saying this is all the right thing. So really, yeah, it's that. Really, there is a need here for political courage, for Democrats stand up for the environmental issues they believe in, for Republicans to stand up for free markets, and to really get behind something that would only benefit New York.
Well, we've been speaking with Jim Chen. He is the Vice President of Public Policy and Chief Regulatory Counsel at Rivian, an American manufacturer that is beginning production of electric pickups and SUVs this year, as well as an electric delivery van for Amazon. Thank you so much for making the time, Jim. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate the opportunity, and thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.